Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Today I bring you a second lesson on the theme Christ as King. And in our first lesson, we pointed out how that the Old Testament contains many prophecies concerning the coming of the kingdom of Christ and how that he is king and he is king now. Now, the kingdom was not in existence in the days of John the Baptist. John the Baptist preached, however, that the kingdom was at hand. Jesus taught the same thing in his personal ministry, Matthew chapter 3 and chapter 4. In fact, in addition to Jesus and John, the 12 apostles and the 70 that Christ sent forth to preach, they all preached that the kingdom was to come. It was at hand, which simply meant it was nearby. It was soon to be. But it was not established during the lifetime of Christ on earth. Some who misunderstood the nature of his kingdom and its purpose and the time of its coming would have taken Jesus and forced him to become an earthly king, according to John 6:15. But Jesus did teach that the kingdom would come with power, but he identified that power as the Holy Spirit, Acts 1 and verse 8. And the Holy Spirit did come on the first Pentecost after his resurrection, and it was on that day that the kingdom was established, there in Jerusalem, as the prophets had foretold. Now, in the Old Testament prophets, as also foretold by Daniel about the kingdom to come. Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream that he dreamed that represented four earthly kingdoms. And that in the days of that fourth kingdom, in Daniel 2 and verse 44, God would establish his kingdom. Now the four kingdoms were represented by Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And it was in the days of Rome that the kingdom was to be established, and it was in the days of Rome that the church began. In Daniel chapter 7, as well as in Acts chapter 2, we learned that the kingdom would be given after the Son of Man went to the Ancient of Days. Friend, this referred to Jesus ascending into heaven, back to the Father in Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, in Mark 16 and verse 9. Here we see that the kingdom would be established after Jesus went back to heaven. And in the Lord's parable of the pounds that we read in Luke chapter 19, we read about the nobleman who went into a far country, and he went to receive for himself a kingdom, and he would return. Now he did not return before receiving the kingdom. He received the kingdom, and then after he received the kingdom, he would return. Friend, Jesus will not return to receive the kingdom. He's already received the kingdom. He received the kingdom when he went into heaven. By the way, this is another blow to that false doctrine of premillennialism, which would take Christ off the throne, and that his kingdom is not yet in existence. But the Old Testament prophets designated Christ's kingdom has already come, and Jesus to be king. On Pentecost, the Apostle Peter announced, "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he himself said, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly, that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ." Acts chapter 2. Now the word Lord means master. It refers to the potentate, who is sovereign. And that is the role of the king. And Christ would be the king. And just what does the phrase, "sit on the right hand of God," mean? Well, it was prophesied in Psalm chapter 110 in verse 1, and again in Hebrews 1 in verse 13 it says it that referred to Christ. Christ also prophesied, and Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see, the Son of Man coming on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven. Mark 14 and verse 62. Friend, Christ is now on the right hand of God. Ephesians 1:20 and Colossians 3:1. On the right hand means that he's been given supreme rule, supreme rank. He has power. He has authority. He has the preeminence. Christ has the dominion, 1 Peter 3 and verse 22. Notice that he was raised to sit on the throne, Peter said in Acts 2 and verse 30. Peter also said he was raised to sit on God's right hand, Acts chapter 2 and verse 34. It simply is this, to sit on the right hand of God means to sit on the throne of his kingdom. Christ is at the right hand of God now. Christ is on the throne of his kingdom now. His kingdom does exist now. We also learn, did we not, from Zechariah, that he would be priest and king at the same time. Furthermore, we learn that he would be a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And we read about Melchizedek in Genesis chapter 14 and Hebrews chapter 6 and 7. Melchizedek was a priest of God, but he was also king of Salem. He was prince, he was king and priest at the same time. Well, Christ is priest now, Hebrews 3 and verse 1, Hebrews 4 and verse 15. He's the high priest of our profession. Therefore, if he is priest now, he is king now, he's at the right hand of God now, he received into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. To sit on the right hand of God is to sit on his throne, Peter said in Acts 2. Romans 8 and verse 34 affirms that his priesthood and his kingship is in effect concurrently, and it exists now. In Revelation 3 and verse 7, it tells us that Christ has the key of David now. That denotes that he has the authority of that type of his kingdom, the kingdom of David. Friend, he is on the throne of heaven, Stephen said in Acts 7 and verse 49. The kingship of Christ is repeatedly acknowledged in the scriptures. For the sake of brevity, we simply list some of those acknowledgments. Of course, it was acknowledged by Jesus himself and by Nathanael after his birth. Jesus acknowledged it before Pilate in John chapter 18. It was acknowledged by the mother of James and John, Matthew 20, and by the multitudes at his entry into Jerusalem, and by the thief on the cross, and the superscription over his cross that said he was the king of the Jews. Yes, there were those that acknowledged Christ is king. Now, some contend that the rejection of Jesus by the Jews caused the Lord to come to this earth to establish his kingdom, but he postponed that establishment because they rejected him. But he established the church instead as a temporary measure and as a substitute until he comes again. And when he comes again, they say, he will then make good the prophecies to establish his kingdom. Friend, there are so many approaches that one can make with biblical basis to refute that false teaching, and that's not our prime theme in this particular lesson. But the Bible teaches that Christ came to establish his throne, and his rejection by the Jews did not change the Lord's plan in the least. We must remember in Romans 3 and verse 3, this refutes that doctrine. For what if some did not believe, Paul said? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Friend, man's rejection of God's Son and His plan, it did not and does not cause God to change anything concerning His plan, His will, His kingdom. To contend for such a postponement demands the voiding of the prophecies of the Old Testament, and it voids the prophecies of the 84 inspired preachers of the New Testament, including Christ Himself. Matthew 21 and the parable of the householder and the wicked servants show that the misdeeds of the servants did not alter the plan of the householder. Some then is now misunderstood and misunderstand the nature of His kingdom. Some think He's going to establish an earthly power. Some thought that He would establish a power that would rival Rome. Some think He's going to establish an earthly kingdom and rule in Jerusalem 1,000 years. But friend, His kingdom is not of this earth. His kingdom is spiritual in nature, not of this world. His kingdom is composed of people, and people who are in the church, Colossians 1 and verse 13. Those in the church were added to the kingdom. It is a spiritual house, 1 Peter 2:2-5, that offers spiritual sacrifices, Romans 12:1. And how long will Christ reign? Well, it's for the number of years we cannot know, but in one sense, His kingdom shall never end. But in another sense, it's existing now, and He will reign until He returns. And I want us to notice this, for this is most significant. He shall deliver the kingdom to the Father, 1 Corinthians 15, when He returns again. He's not going to set up the kingdom when He comes back. He's going to deliver up the kingdom when He comes again. And He will reign until death is destroyed. And that will occur at His resurrection and the resurrection of all. There is an earthly phase of that kingdom, the first dominion, but there is a heavenly phase also. Friend, it's important that we be in this kingdom of which Christ is King. If we're going to be delivered to the Father, we must be in that kingdom. And how was the one enter that kingdom? Why, Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you have to be born again. And what does it mean to be born again? Why, that includes God's plan, faith in Christ, repentance of sins, confession of Christ, and baptism into Christ. Well, there cannot be any doubt, if one relies upon the testimony of the inspired writers, that Christ came with the intention of becoming a kingdom over a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom has been predicted down through the ages. It did have its beginning on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He reigns now, friend. Christ is King of kings, the Lord of lords, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 15. Yes, Christ is King, and it is to this end that He was born. And it was for this purpose that He came into the world, John 18 and verse 37. And we are most blessed that God will allow us to be citizens in that kingdom. And what a glorious day that will be when the kingdom of Christ, at the return of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of all, He will deliver that kingdom to the Father, and that kingdom will be with the Father in heaven forever and forever. Aren't you glad that we can be in that kingdom? Won't you do what's necessary to become a citizen? This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.